back and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's just great to be here. It really is. And to enjoy this worship service this morning with all of you. To be back again here at Tree of Life Church for Joe and I. And the honor at your pastor's invitation to share Sunday morning service and the teaching time and to bring a word from the Lord. This is an important opportunity and one that pastors don't share lightly. So we appreciate the invitation very much, pastors, from you. And we enjoy the fellowship of your pastors. And as your pastor Mike was just saying, we've been able to travel together a few times. And also with Brother Jack Adams, it's good to see you, Brother Jack, and be with you today. And have seen God do some great things in various places. And also to have some great experiences together, to make some memories, to have a few laughs. And the roughest road trip that I ever took in my life was in a vehicle together with Pastor Mike and Brother Jack. And if it weren't for them, I would have turned around and gone back home, I think. I don't know, just but we were committed to the Lord and each other to get this thing done, and so we made it happen. We're going back to the same place, actually, as he mentioned earlier, that we had to travel to by car overland, and then the second time we went back, we were able to arrive by airplane. Thank God for airplanes. And we've learned some things about how to make sure that we are going in and out at the right times. And that's another thing to pray about, because they change flight schedules like they change their mind. And that's pretty often for, you know, a lot of people and over there. And it's a lot easier when you can travel in. Thankful to the Lord for what He's doing in the world today, in the nations, among the tribes of people. God knows about every one of them. He knows their names. These are the greatest Bible days that any of God's people have ever been privileged to be alive and serving the Lord. The Word of God is coming to pass before our eyes on a daily basis. The things that God has always been doing for His people, He's doing also for us and through us as we allow Him to. But also we're seeing things today that no people have ever been able to see. The possibilities of doing great things for God. Aren't you grateful for this word from the Lord this morning by a manifestation gift of the Holy Spirit, a translated tongue, a message in another tongue that highlighted to us this gift of evangelistic anointing that is coming upon us? I receive that in the name of the Lord, because I don't have to just live for myself. I can give it all away for the glory and the honor of God and people that He loves and not miss a thing. And I praise the Lord that He's calling us back to that place of focusing out. And praise the Lord. The church is blessed this morning. I feel that and sense that here in Pflugerville and at Tree of Life. And I believe that God has put a word in my heart today that I'm going to enjoy sharing with you. I'd like for my wife, Jo, to stand up, please, if she will, so you can see her. And praise the Lord. I'm thankful for Jo. I learn more from her than I do from anyone else, more from her than I ever have from anyone else, and I receive more from the Lord through her life. I appreciate the gifts in her life, and that's one of our purposes together, is to highly respect and honor the gift of the Lord that is in one another's life, and to receive from one another. I'm grateful to have a partner, you know, in everything that God has called us to do, and so I cherish that. This past year, Joe became the most beautiful grandmother on earth 3 more times. Wow. In 2014, 3 new grandbabies born to 3 of our children and their spouses. 2 of them were born about 24 hours apart. And it was hard to be 2 places at one time. We couldn't. But we got there as quick as we could, and if they'd have been living closer together, and that's one of the requests that we've put in to them, if they could, they've kind of spread out, if they could bunch, it's all six of them living in a row on the same street would be the easiest thing for us. But that's not how they have been led. But we're really, really blessed and thankful for our family and what God is doing for all of them as well. Early this week, I heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me in my heart. And He began to say, give it away. Give it away. That was something that I heard from the Lord. Give it away. Well, I love that because over the last 10 years, really, for Joe and I, the greatest period of transformation and transitions that we've ever gone through, where that the Lord has taken us in the middle of this period back to a place of new beginning entirely, where we just came back to a point of just Joe and I and Jesus, and that was all. The way that the Lord was leading us and the things that He was calling us to do, that was what it required. When we did that, we didn't have anybody telling us, way to go. That's got to be God. That's got to be the Lord telling you to do it that way. Just to give it all away and to start over by faith and learn some things again and some new things about what it means really to live by faith. We've been in full-time ministry for over 30 years. But the Lord continues to stretch me, to teach me in this area of what it really means to live by faith. And I think it's one of the messages of my life. I believe this more today than I ever have, to encourage God's people with just that truth. God wants you, by obedience to His voice in your life. Now, there's the Word of God to all of us. We're going to talk about some of those things today that we need to more and more step into a flow of obedience by faith in what God has calling all of us to do and say and be in this world for His glory. But then there's the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And living by faith also involves hearing God, what He's saying to me, and saying, Lord, yes, I will. And then doing what it takes to get in that position so that you can go forward on those terms with God. Wow. Sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes you have to work at it for a while to get in that position. But we have learned over the last 10-year period, and we have a testimony about that, that it takes quite a bit of time, really, to lay it out. But that God is not limited in any way by the things that you give up, that you give away, that you may feel like you're really limiting yourself and your ability to do something significant for God when you make a decision to give to Him. You know, there are things that start us on this journey, obediences such as the tithe and the offerings and using our gifts for the Lord, setting aside some times and coming to the work day and coming to the leaders meeting and becoming committed faithfully to some of the ministries in the church as everybody has an opportunity to do that, that take us more towards that life of faith because you're giving more to God, more to God, more to God, and more to God's people, more and more and more. And it just seems sometimes, well, we can't give more. We can't just give it all, can we? Well, we have a challenge set before us, and that our goal ultimately is to give God 90% of everything that comes to us and to live on 10, which is kind of a flip-flop from a 10% tithing principle that we also live on. And we're not there yet, but we're way down the road from where we were not very long ago. And we have seen God do some miraculous things. And in the midst of this, had a new beginning and a brand new start. So when the Lord began to talk to me and say, give it away, and this word began to take shape in my spirit, and then I began to think about you all and about this service this morning and feel liberty in that area, and then I recognized these things, how that God speaks to me and that I could bring this to you today. Well, of course, I had to say, well, give what? What is it? What is the thing that we should give away? What is that? And I say that with excitement. I say that with joy and with anticipation. And then what I heard in my spirit just 2 days ago, that, and I believe, with all my heart that I heard in my spirit from God. He said, turn the takeaway into a giveaway. Turn the takeaway into a giveaway. Have you ever felt like that anything was taken from you? Have you ever experienced that? There are some things that are very easy to relate to in that point. Have you ever been robbed? Has anybody ever stolen anything from you? Well, just 2 days ago, I had to set my mind on this, that a year ago at our home, while we were at home, we live out in the country on a small acreages. We don't have any neighbors that we can't throw any rocks and hit their houses. And we can't hear them most of the time until they have parties. We have one down the road that like to have parties and play loud music. And we always know it's, well, Saturday night. And there they go. But while we were home, I woke up one morning and with a cup of coffee, walked out the side door, walking around my place, looking at some thing. How did that get moved over there? How did that happen? Why is that door open on that shed? Different things. And pretty soon we realized that somebody had come in and robbed us. And it turned out to be a pretty big loss. More than to anybody, it was a loss to me. It was a lot of my stuff. I asked Joe recently, honey, am I a hoarder? Because sometimes I start cleaning up, you know, one of my places where I have some of my stuff and end up moving it from one place to another thinking, I remember that thing. I remember keeping that. I don't remember now why. Should I get rid of it? No, I don't think so. It's not my first inclination. It's possible for me to be a hoarder. When my grandfather on my mother's side passed away, we found out that four of his rent houses were not being used as rent houses at all, but he was storing stuff in them. He was a great garage sailor, had all kinds of hobbies and everything else, and he accumulated a lot of things. Well, there were a lot of valuable things in there. A sale was had, a big sale, and my grandmother ended up with a lot of money in her pocket from the sale of all that stuff. So it didn't go for nothing, but for over the years, this was his secret life. He had just, so, you know, I thought of him, and I'm named after him. And so I said, Joe, am I a hoarder? And she said, I wouldn't call it that. So maybe she should have, but, you know, I wouldn't call it that, she said to me. But I lost some stuff that I would rather have not lost. It was taken from me. I've also had times in my life when I was severely criticized. I've had times in my life, and you have too, when you faced opposition in the forms of people who just weren't on your side. Sometimes it doesn't amount to much, but sometimes there can be situations where that if somebody's not in your corner and they say so, and they're very much against you, then it's something that you have to take note of, and you have to decide how you're going to respond to that and what you're going to do with it. It was in view of these kinds of things, I believe, that the Holy Spirit said to me, turn the takeaway into a giveaway. And I started looking in my Bible. I'd like for you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Praise the Lord. And we're going to read some verses of Scripture here. Hallelujah. I'm glad that the pastor mentioned an upcoming event and the trip to Asia. We're also very excited in this year coming in July. We're going to be taking a trip into Dominican Republic and Haiti, where we will break ground on a new school and orphanage there on the island. We're excited about that, a connection that was made back in 2012 when I was on the island of Puerto Rico, and I drove up into the yard of a church that was meeting under a big tent and got out of a rental car, just kind of caught my attention, and let's stop. I was with another pastor from San Antonio who was with me there. We walked under the tent, and two men were praying. And they were dumbfounded. They began to cry in our presence immediately. We did not know them. But there was a connection immediately. And what we learned later from one of them was a church member who was praying with his pastor. And he told his pastor just a few days before. He said, Pastor, God's going to encourage you in a big way. He's sending two men and they're going to arrive at this place in a blue car. And they're going to get out and tell you God sent them here to tell you that God sees what you're doing and that God's behind you and He's for you. And that turned out to be us. We didn't know that until we got there and they told us. We felt like we were in a timely way, following God's direction. But you can be in the right place at the right time and sometimes not be aware. But it comes through making a decision to hear from God and to obey the voice of the Lord. Even when you don't have all the information. Even when you don't have the whole picture. Here in Mark chapter 4, look down at verse number 21. And he was saying to them, these are the words of Jesus, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? This English translation is the New American Standard that I'm reading from. In the 22nd verse, we read, nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Let's read that line again. Nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Yeah, if you don't see it all now, God wants to wait to show you more later. The Word of God is like this to the student. Praise the Lord. You never run out of new things. Oh, I've read the whole Bible. Well, read it again. There's more in there than you can ever discover if you had nothing to do but to spend all your days and time just reading and reading and reading. Get to the end, start over again. So some things, by the purpose and plan of God, are hidden. But he says nothing that is hidden except to be revealed. And a lamp is not lit to be put in a concealed place, but to be put on a stand. And thereby to shine light for everyone else and on everything else. The lamp very quickly loses its attraction and its appeal when the light comes on and you see so many other things because of the light. Is that a good thought? We are the light as God's people in the world today. When I show up, I make a difference. By the goodness and the grace and the blessing of the Holy Spirit in me and the gift of God that works through my life. Oh, that may sound like I'm turning attention to myself, but I'm really not. It's the one in me. And this is a confession that I like to make over my own life. When I show up, everything is going to change about that situation and the makeup of that group of people that I arrive to. The potential for change suddenly goes up. The potential for revelation of the good things of God, it rises. Because a light has been taken from a place where it was hidden or less revealing to a place where it is much more revealing and shining more light on things. God has you in some places in your life right now today because light is needed in that place. And it's wrong for us to let our purpose be taken away from us because there's no one there to appreciate the light that has come into their lives. But by the goodness of God and by the authority of His Word, we turn that takeaway because the gift that's in us and the fact that we have become men and women of destiny through relationship with the Father, through His Son Jesus Christ, that we don't live unto ourselves, but we live for His glory and for others, and therefore we do what He is calling us to do. We say what He's calling us to say. We go where He's telling us to go. We want to focus on becoming all that He is calling us to become for His glory and honor, taking more and more of His Word into us, more and more of His Spirit to flow through us, more and more of His grace in order that we can love people better and more of them that we weren't able to love before. But a lot of times we're not appreciated for that, and the natural side of us is looking for that. But nothing that is hidden except that it be revealed. And so we joy in what's coming. We joy in what is not yet seen. We joy in what we have seen and that it is just a glimpse of what is coming. It is just a beginning of part of what will be. That makes me so happy. I am excited about the road that I'm walking on today. Pastor Cheryl was talking about the pathways of the Lord. Praise God. We're in motion We're on the move. And that which is secret is not going to stay a secret. And that which has not yet been revealed is being revealed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nothing is hidden except that it would come to light. Or nothing, nor has anything been secret, the last part of verse number 22, but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And in verse 24, and he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And more will be given you besides. I want to spend some time on that this morning. That what comes back to us, not only is to be compared to what we give out. If you're serving with joy, if you're serving with gladness, if you're serving with liberality, if you're serving with cheerfulness, if you're giving according to God's voice, if you're giving in line with His Word, if you're giving from a heart that is pure, and that you're closing the door on selfishness by walking in obedience more and more to more and more of God's Word, and that's the way that it comes about, then your expectancy level goes up, because you know that the measuring device that you are using to give out is the same measuring device that is going to be used by God, sometimes unknowingly, in the hands of other people to give back to you exactly what you gave out. And if God is revealing more and more of the light of His glorious Word in His presence today, He's doing it through us. What God is doing in the world today, He's doing through the church. The manifest gifts of the Holy Spirit come through the lives of obedient and yielded people who are doing it by faith. Hallelujah. And determined the return to our lives, and the promise of God is that it will come back the measure that you use. And the promise that goes with it is more, more increase over what you give is coming back. Well, I can't tell everything I know, because then I'll know nothing. If God has revealed it to you, it's because you are walking in a direction of a place of darkness that needs badly the revelation that you have received from God. You may say, well, I'm young in the Lord and I don't know but one or two things. Well, may your expectancy level in the name of the Lord today and by His Word go up, that you are walking in the direction of a need for which you have been recreated by the hand of God and equipped by His Word and His Spirit to bring light into that situation in a way that nobody else can. The opposition that you are facing in your life today is not because of who you are, but because of whose you are, and because you are on a destiny path for the glory of God. There are things about you that are secret this morning that the devil doesn't know, but God does. Because he's standing in your future looking back to where you are now, and he is saying your best days are in front of you. Your best victories are ahead of you. Your moments of revelation have yet to be lived. Don't stop walking now, but continue to come towards me. When we begin to believe that, then joy begins to rise up inside of us about the opportunity that is in front of us. There is nothing that is hidden, or there is nothing that is planted away. This is the idea that we are supposed to have in our mind when we read this, like a seed that goes into the ground. I have planted things in the lives of others. I have planted things in the kingdom of God. I have given away, sometimes by choice, what started as a takeaway. I turn it around. I have the privilege to do that by the authority of the Word of God, and I call it a giveaway. Lord, that's my seed. Lord, that right now is my testimony. That right now is my choice to honor you in the matter, no matter what the devil does. I like to sing a song. I've been singing it for years. Joe plays it for me, and I sing it. Sometimes we just love to do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's going to do. The Word and faith are my sword and my shield, and Jesus is Lord of the way I feel. It's not about how I feel about it. It's what I know about it. There's nothing that has been hidden, concealed, planted in the ground, but what it's going to grow. It's going to come up. The light is going to shine. The darkness could not comprehend the great light that was the Son of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten Son of God. There was a light that shone in darkness, and and the darkness could not overcome it. The darkness could not comprehend it. The darkness could not contain it. But it pierced the darkness, and it continues to shine forth. More and more of the darkness of the kingdom of Satan is vanishing in the face of God's faithful people who are walking in destiny, expecting that those things that are now secret are going to be revealed. Those things that are hidden are about to be made light for the glory of God's eyes, and also all of those who are watching you. Some of them have taken it away. Someone have criticized it. Some of them have persecuted it. Some have lied to you about it. The devil has used them in different ways. Sometimes people that don't mean to be used in a negative way as an opposition to your faith and obedience find themselves in that position. We cannot take offense at people. We have to turn on the enemy, who is the devil. We were singing this morning under a great anointing. The enemy has been defeated, and we know that that is true. We ought to live like it. We ought to go forward with an expectation that my victory is already sealed, not only now, but in my future. I'm going to know more than I know now. I'm going to have more than I have now. I'm going to be a governor over more than I rule over now. If I want it to be that way, then as I walk obedient to the word of God, it can't help but happen in my life. Praise the Lord. I believe that. Appreciate that. Amen. Amen. I just wanted a bigger one. Woo! Your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. I want to go here in a moment to the 6th chapter of Luke, where there's a theme that runs through that, and it's what Luke recorded, that part of the Sermon on the Mount of our Lord. And he uses a verb tense that is also found right here in this verse number 24 that I was reading, where he says your standard of measure, measuring out, right there actually we have the Greek word metron and metrail. The first one is a noun, and it is translated here in the New American Standard Version in verse number 24, your standard. It could say your measure. It's an instrument. It's a thing. It is something that you use. It might be a weight, a scale. It might be a meter stick or a yardstick. It is something that you use to decide the proper amount, the proper portion, the proper distance, okay? And so he is saying here that as we go forward with this awareness, that things are being revealed. Opportunities are coming. And it's in the face of the opportunities of life. Well, you might call them problems. You might call them unexpected crisis. We're turning the takeaway into a giveaway this morning. In the opportunities of life, the devil thinks we're ordinary people as we go along. He is continually surprised because things are hidden. Until I needed it, I didn't know it was there. Until it was required, it's just waiting. Until someone is hungry, and only that kind of fruit can feed that hunger, then we see what happens in Isaiah 55, where God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heaven is higher above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts, saith the Lord. And he said, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. You see the comparison there? What God has said before, now he's given us an illustration through the prophet. As my ways are higher, my thoughts are higher, as high as the heaven is above the earth, it's an entirely different dimension. My ways and what I'm doing are different. Did I lose that altogether? No. Okay, I just threw a shoe. All right, good. Amen. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Well, here's a comparison he's about to make. He says, like the rain and the snow falls from the sky, it lands on the ground and it waters the earth. And it causes the seed, actually the seed is not mentioned. He just says it causes it to spring forth, to bud, and produce fruit that gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It doesn't come back to me empty. It accomplishes what I sent it to do. And it prospers in the thing that I intended. I asked the Lord, how is your word like the rain and the snow? Here in Isaiah 55. And immediately he said, what's missing is the seed. He said, in this case, when I speak to you, I'm not speaking to your mind. I'm speaking to my word that's planted inside of you. Because this is the day. This is the hour of revelation. This is the moment of growth. I love growing. I love being revealed. I love producing. I want to be more productive. I want to be more mature. I want to be a tree planted by a river of living water that has green leaves even in seasons when all other trees are dead. Producing fruit at the right season. The right fruit at the right time. And God knows when that is. And he sends a word. There's been an earlier word that came to me and it was hidden. It was concealed. It became a secret in my life. At the moment that I heard it, and I believe it. We read it here in Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And be careful what you hear. Because it doesn't just go away. You got enough weeds in your garden. Allow me to plant what I want to plant inside of you. Be faithful to my word. And when you hear, become an obedient hearer. Because when you do that, you position yourself for a great return eventually in your life. Takeaways are going to be turned to giveaways. Because I'm doing things in you that I plan to do through you. And at the moment when the through you becomes possible and needed, I'm going to speak to you again. And in that moment, like rain on seed that has been planted, there is going to be a supernatural growth period. And a harvest is coming, and it's by my design and by my purpose. And if you don't sell the field, according to Galatians 6:9, that if you sow to the Spirit, you will by the Spirit reap eternal life. I like to tell people, if you've planted, don't sell the field, no matter what, because somebody will reap a harvest wherever there has been planted for the glory and the honor of God. And I want my harvest to come in and to give testimony and glory to God that it's worth it. Just stay faithful. Just stay in obedience and add to your present knowledge more and add to your current obedience more obedience and walk as a destined person in the glory of God, because the word of the Lord cannot fail in your life. God can do anything but fail his promise. Everything that is going to be shaken and is utterly going to be taken away and replaced except the word of the Lord. It will stand forever. Hallelujah. Do you believe that today? The word of God that has been planted inside you and me is more valuable than anything in the hands of the Lord. And when we show up because of who he is and what he has put in us, there is potential for anything to happen, glory to God. And sometimes when you begin to give a word, oh, you're just raining on yourself. Many, many times people come into the house of the Lord and the pastor stands up, begins to teach, or the appointed teacher for that hour, and they begin to read from the Word of God and they begin to share what the Holy Spirit is showing them in the Word of God. And for some it's a seed that's being planted, but for others it's rain that is falling on your life. And wherever there is rain, we ought to get excited. Like the farmer who waits patiently according to the first chapter of the book of James. He's put seed in the ground and he doesn't get worried for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months because he's looking for the rain. He knows when the latter rain comes that it's time to begin to gear up for a harvest. And in the meantime, he doesn't curse the field. He doesn't spend all of his time wringing his hands, worrying about what's coming. What's he looking for? He's looking for the rain. He has a promise of rain. He has put something in the ground and he is prepared. And now God's part is to send the rain. Hallelujah. And he's going to send it. Amen. And it will come. And you will receive again. And those things that are hidden will be revealed. Those things that are secret about you are suddenly going to be known. A few weeks ago, I was in a meeting and one of our sons stood up to give a word for God. And I sat there in a very composed manner and I amened in a very appropriate way, pastoral way, in front of the people. But on the inside of me, I was saying, yes, 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 yes. Secret things are being revealed. Hidden things are being brought to light. Unknown things, except in the Spirit, are now being shouted from the mountaintops. Someone's purpose for which they were born is now being revealed to him first of all, but also to the world. But God as a good father, and I lost it there, brother. God as a good father, he knows all about it. He has known about it because he's an eternal God and he's bigger than today. He stands in today with us, but his heels are in my past and his toes are in my future. Today can't hold him. He sees my entire life like the movie that I may have watched last night or the day before. So I'm thanking God. Thank you for what you know about my children. Thank you for what you know about their spouses. Thank you for what you know about my grandchildren. Just use me, Lord, to rain on them. Let me rain on them. I'm ready to be a sower. I'm ready to be a rainmaker. Whatever you want to do through my life, use me going and coming. You shall go out with joy, and you shall be led forth with praise. Hallelujah. Is anybody hearing anything so far that may excite you? I probably don't have to shout it like that to make an impression. The Word of God is enough. Sometimes it comes out that way. I'd like to look over to Luke chapter 6, make sure that I do this before any time that I can't use again goes off the clock. I think there's some words here that would just speak to us if we just read them out of Luke chapter 6. And starting in verse number 27. If you hear what God is saying today, would you say, I'm listening? Okay. Because here in verse number 27, he speaks about our hearing again. He says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, turn the takeaway into a giveaway. Let it be your seed of honor for the glory of God. Throw down that selfish measure of the natural man and pick up that faith measure of the spirit man. Let them have it. I gave my love. They didn't receive it that way. I gave my blessing. They didn't receive it that way. I go to work day after day after day, and I'm more unappreciated, it seems, as time goes by than ever before. Oh, I feel that. We could cry about it, but that won't change anything. In verse 28, he says, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. I don't like hitters. I don't like hitters. Wow. Whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Take away after take away after take away after take away. The devil can't get your goat unless you tell him where it's tied. Let me say that another way. The devil can't read your mind. But he's been reading actions and hearing God's people talk for a long, long time. And too many times God's people don't speak like Jesus. And we don't take him at his word, on the authority of his word, and say, this doesn't sound like something that in the natural I can do very easily, but I'm going to do it because he said I can. And I may not be perfect in day one. I don't know if I'll ever get there. But this is my intention. Because I have learned by the Word of God that God sees some things in me that I don't see. And it's only when it's needed most that those hidden things are going to be revealed. And because He keeps investing in my life, the devil is afraid of this. So he's trying to stop me before I get started. Verse number 30 says, "Give to everyone who asks, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them." This is talking about reaction. One of the things in building our obedient walk and becoming more and more obedient to the Word of God will do for us is it will protect you from overreacting. It will protect you from overreacting. A second thing it will do for us is by necessity, we will grow in the fruit of the Spirit, a like character of Jesus Christ. You don't need to live life as a reactionary. You need to live life on purpose. And if we purpose to walk more and more by faith, obediently to the Word of God, we will be protected from overreacting, and we will see more of the like character of Jesus Christ emerging in our lives. And other people will. If you see it, they will see it. Glory to God. Verse 33 says, "If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same." And these last two verses here, what we're seeing is the way of the world is to give back what you get, to wait and see and then do back what they do to me. But the way of Jesus is decide beforehand, this is the way I'm going to be. No matter what they give me, this is what I'm giving back. No matter what they say, this is what I have decided to say. No matter what the thing that provokes me or prods me or tries to push me out of my place, my response is going to be, talk to the one who called me to live another way. I know that if I determine to do it, I can yield to the supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit in me and the mind of Christ and not be a slave to the natural tendency of the flesh and a limited understanding. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. I believe that we can understand this passage with this help, with this insight. But in the process of living life, we get into relationships with people, and to live life any other way is not to be fulfilled in life, and it's to miss much of what God has planned for us. So we need to be involved with people. But if you're involved with people, one thing I can promise you, one of my elders one time looked at a man who was new in the Lord in the church, and something had happened that had really set him off. And so we were sitting with him and praying with him, and he looked at this brother and he said, "Brother, I can only promise you one thing about being a member of this church. You will be offended." And he didn't really like to hear that, but it was a help to him. And when I heard it come out of his mouth, I thought, well, this is a good thing many times that we need to be aware of. Sometimes we ourselves can be an offense to other people and not mean to be. We have to be able to know how to deal with offenses. What we're looking at here is when things start a certain way, but circumstances change. When he's talking about lending, expecting nothing to begin, he's talking about something that didn't start that way. He's talking about an agreement. He's talking about a business deal. Some of you are business people. Some of you do business every day. Some of you know what it is to try and collect unpaid debts. Some of you know what it is to sit there and know that all of my bills could be paid if somebody would just pay me. I've been there. I know what that is like. It's a frustrating thing. But there comes a point when your goat is about to be got, and it's at that moment you can stop and ask the Lord, "What do you want to do with me now?" And He may say to you, to your great surprise, "Well, just turn that takeaway into a giveaway. Give it to me. Use a big measure. Get a bigger measuring cup. Get a longer yardstick. Get something that can deal with this thing on the size, because I'm calling you right now to do something with what you've got that you've never done before. Reach farther than you've reached before. Give it away that you haven't given before. Nothing that is concealed will stay that way. And if you will use that measure, then I promise you, the measure that you use is going to be used in the world to bring right back to you and more. It's the promise of God. Verse number 37 and 38, and I'm closing with reading these words. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you'll not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Verse 38, give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. There in that 38th verse again is that standard of measure. It's the same word, but once in a noun form and then in a verb form. And it's saying that you use a measuring tool to measure out to others. And by the supernatural hand of God, when you overcome the tendencies of the natural person and the ways of the natural person, and you get in the reign of God's Word, in that moment when something needs to be revealed so that God can be glorified in a hard and a harsh situation, and God wants to use you, you can stand on the promise of His Word. Is that it's not going to hurt for long. Because when I turn the takeaway into a giveaway, I have put my standard of measure in the hands of those that are against me. The devil is going to use my standard of measuring my return whether he wants to or not. At the moment when I give it away, it may disappear from my eyes, but it doesn't leave my life. Because God says the same thing is coming back. And the more may just represent what I would have done with it if it had been in my hand all along. He is a restorer. And it's for the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to pray. Some of you may be having a quickening in your spirit, thinking of some specific things. And I'm even asking the Holy Spirit to bring some specific things to our minds right now, so that you may take a step towards turning the takeaway into a giveaway. It's not too late. Would you receive that as a word from the Holy Spirit right now? It is not too late. You may have closed that part and moved to a different chapter, but the Holy Spirit is reopening it. Oh, God is such a giver. And His ability to give into your life and into my life is connected to our obedience by faith in planting the seed. Hallelujah. Say, well, I don't have anything to give right now. If I had something in my pocket, I'd respond to the offering. I would help this need in the church. I would do this for my family if I had something to give. Well, right now the Holy Spirit is bringing back to your mind some takeaways that need to be turned into giveaways. How does that happen? It happens when you put your words on it. Father God, I just move right now in the ability of the Holy Spirit and by the authority of Your Word. I just release the debtor. That's my seed. That which is stolen from me, hey, if somebody out there right now is riding around on a real nice 400cc four-wheeler that was stolen out of my shed not long ago, I hope he's enjoying it today. And I may arrive home and see mine sitting in the driveway, my better one. Say, do you believe that stuff, Curtis? I believe it. I believe it as strong as I can believe it today. The goodness of God. It not only affects things, but it affects people. I'm releasing some people to the glory of the Lord. What's the Lord saying to you right now? What's the Lord talking to you about? Let's turn some takeaways back around into some giveaways for the honor of God and position ourselves so that some hidden things can more quickly become revealed in our lives. There are things about you that God knows that He wants to show you. And He also wants to shine that light for the glory of the name of His Son to others. Lord, right now in this place, from one side of this sanctuary to the other, I thank You for this opportunity to share and to bring a word from God. I thank You for Your people. I thank You for this church. I thank You, Lord, for great seed in the form of Your word that is hidden away in the lives of Your people right now. Lord, for somebody today, this may have been a rainy word. For somebody today, this may have fallen in season upon their life, and there's something that You want to do. Lord, I pray that You would direct Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Ghost, I give You praise and honor right now. Speak to our hearts and direct our prayer. Speak to our heart and direct our confessions. Speak to our hearts and direct our declaration. Speak to us through other people. We know there are gifts in this house that are ready to be manifest, Lord, as we go forward in these days, because secret things are being revealed. I thank You and bless You today in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Father. And I also bless You, God's people, to be lifted and to be used like you never have before. In Jesus' name. I'm going to turn it back to Pastor Mike right now.